Welcome to Generations. My friends, Kevin Swanson here with you, Executive Director of Christian Home Educators, also a pastor. The reason I'm here, I'm a father of five, and we homeschool our children out here in the eastern plains of Colorado. It boggles my mind how much money is spent on education in America. A bunch of stories about cost of education in the United States of A. Federal funding for the National Department of Education has tripled since 2000. Yeah, you got it right. It's about $30 billion when George W. took control of the helm back in 2000. Now it's about $90 billion a year. You got it, my friends. The biggest increase in the history of the Department of Education since its inception, 1973, happened under George W. Bush. That's right. And higher education funding quintupled since 2000. Quintupled, that's 500%. That's five times what it used to be in 2000. Now, this is far more than any president has ever done before us. And what does this mean? Huge centralized control of education. And that's what's been happening since, well, since about, well, I guess since we've seen academics decline in America. That's what's happened. We've seen increasing centralized control of education ever since we saw the decline of education, of academics in our country. And it's interesting to see the correlation. I'm not sure anybody out there really cares, but that's a correlation. And, you know, by the way, the National Department of Education has also initiated standardized testing across the United States. So now the districts everywhere are in the lockhold of the National Department. And talking about more centralized control, the Department of Education is now talking about gaining regulatory control over all the accrediting agencies, over colleges and universities. I mean, even private colleges and universities. Can you imagine that, Dave? The National Department of Education, the federal government controlling all accrediting agencies, this is pretty much going to put education in the total lockhold of the federal government. Now, a lot of you are thinking to themselves, yeah, but George W. Bush has control over all that money. That's why we gave it to him. We're Republicans. We gave him control of money because he's a good guy. He does really good things with all of our money. See, it's really, really good to see the centralized control and the strength of a federal government as long as the guy who does it is not a power-hungry Democrat, liberal. Well, folks, I'm not really sure how good that logic is, but here's the other point. What if somebody really bad gets in control of that kind of money? What then?
Well, then they'll spend it even more so. Now, Kevin, this goes back to the Every Child Left Behind initiative, does it not?
Yeah, it sure does.
Yeah, I think this is pretty shocking because I remember in the 80s that Ronald Reagan, who was then the president, wanted to shut down the National Department of Education. He hired a guy named Bill Bennett, who is the brother of William Bennett, the lawyer who represented Bill Clinton. He hired him to shut down that department, but Bill Bennett said he couldn't do it, and instead they decided to grow it.
Yeah, I think Bill Bennett forgot what he's supposed to do, lost his job description or something. But, yeah, the Department of Education continues to grow, my friends, and we are seeing absolute tyranny over education in America. Granted, homeschooling is somewhat exempted from this nationalized standardized testing, et cetera, et cetera. But, folks, anytime you centralize control, anytime you take money and you increase the power and control over money in some centralized agency like the Department of Education, we're talking tyranny here, okay? Governments like fire, as George Washington said, it makes for a dangerous servant and a cruel master. Government is like fire. Don't trust it. And whatever you do, don't you ever give it money. All right, and now here's the other story. This comes from Oregon, and this talks to state funding. The Oregon House approved $6.2 billion for Oregon schools. That's $10,400 average for 600,000 children. Dave, over 10 grand per student per year in the state of Oregon, and that doesn't include the local and federal funding. Did I mention the federal funding is now up to $90 billion? Well, anyway, the point being that Oregon is spending $6 billion, and that's 10 grand for the average kid in Oregon. Meantime, you've got the federal department spending $90 billion, up from $30 billion in 2000. The numbers are incredible. And here's the story, guys, from Oregon. Hooray! This is a great budget for our kids, says Representative Sarah Gelser, Democrat from Corvallis, a former Corvallis school board member, etc. The total funding is nearly an 18% increase over current state school support, et cetera, et cetera. By the way, back in 1959, Dave, the 59-60 school year, the average school in America spent $375 per student.
$375. Now, adjusted for inflation, Dave, that would be $2,100 per year today. All right, so we have in Oregon a 5 times increase adjusted for inflation since 1959, 1960. A 5 times increase, my friends. Incredible. In Colorado, it's only $7,200 per student. But again, Dave, that would represent what? An average of a 3 times increase adjusted for inflation for the average student. And yet, guys, and yet, the Time Magazine article, June 25th edition, just came out. NAEP testing, that's the federal testing conducted since 1992, has found that only 35% of 12th graders are proficient in reading, down from 40% in 1992. So again, we've been spending about 3 to 5 times more for education. We're seeing the proficiency in reading fall by 5% in 1992. Results are even worse in math. And here's the amazing admission from Time Magazine, Dave, I kid you not. This is a quote, Time Magazine, June 25th. Simply throwing more money at the problem isn't the answer. They admit it. And yet, why do they do it?
Well, I think they do it because of to assuage their own guilt. The numbers are staggering. And I want you to think about it this way. If instead of spending all of that money on education, you were instead, to vest each child in a mortgage for 12 years, the 12 years that they normally spend in school, by the time you add compound interest, I think every one of those children in Oregon, not based on the federal dollars, but just on the state dollars, would be able to purchase and walk away after their senior year with no mortgage. They would own a middle-class home in Oregon.
And put mom and dad together. Let's say they're getting married. High school sweethearts get married, okay? And that's 20 grand times what? 12 years. That's $240,000.
Well,
that's a lot of money.
Make sure you add the interest in there. That's a pretty nice little nest egg that they could start out their life. Oh, maybe go into business. But, of course, there's a downside to that. All of those teachers, all those members of the NEA would have to go get jobs, maybe those jobs that Americans don't want to do.
Yeah, here's the other downside. They wouldn't have the opportunity to indoctrinate students. Ladies and gentlemen, the reason for education is not to educate children, okay? Our proficiency in reading is dropping like a rock. Here's another article from Florida Times. More than 3/4 of students entering Florida's community colleges need remedial courses in math, reading, or writing. That's 75%, Dave. They never got in high school. The number has risen significantly since 1999 when it was just 58.6%. Now it's up to 75%. These kids, they're not learning anything in high school. And Dave, I think the best solution here would be, I think, extreme obvious. Defund all high schools and then make kids pay for their own education. Dave, I think what happens is when somebody comes and just gives you something like junk mail, education is like junk mail to the average student. What do you do with junk mail, Dave? You get junk mail, it's free. It's absolutely free. When you get a whole stack of junk mail every day, what happens? For the most part, it just goes right in the wastebasket. I don't even bother opening the stuff. That's what happens when you don't pay for something. Ladies and gentlemen, people don't care. People don't learn because they're not paying for it. It's effectively robbery, Dave, when you're out there redistributing that kind of wealth. Who pays for this kind of stuff? People are out there working hard and trying to make a living and have to pay the government 48% of their income on federal, state, and local levels for taxation. But here's the problem. You've got a monopoly operating here. Got a monopoly, and here's what makes it even worse. You got a gun to the head of every person in Oregon and across America to gain that taxes. It's enforced taxation, so it's compulsory. It's compulsory taxation for compulsory education, and it's a monopolized form of education. Of course, ladies and gentlemen, it is one of the most egregious robberies ever hoisted upon mankind, and it's happening in the modern age. It's only happened since, the last 150 years or so. But, folks, this system is not working. It is not working. Ladies and gentlemen, it's not working. How many times do I have to say this? The average college graduate today was a high school graduate 10, 20 years ago. Folks, it's not working. Only 41% of graduate students, people who have been through college, could be classified as proficient in prose, that is, read and understand information, short text, and that's down 10 percentage points since 1992. Education at the college level is sinking like a rock. Education at the high school level is sinking like a rock. K-12 education is sinking like a rock. All the statistics bear it out, and yet the solution is we'll throw more money at it. And that's precisely what George W. Bush has been doing for the last 7 years, and all the Republicans out there are saying, go Bush over this. Ladies and gentlemen, this is not the way we solve the problems. It's interesting, Dave, you got all these home homeschoolers out there. They're on their own dime. They're paying their taxes, yes, trying to pay for every 10 grand students walking through the public schools not learning anything. And at the same time, we've got to go out and buy a little bit of curriculum for our kids and then educate them on our own dime. And yet we score 30 to 40 percentile points above the national average and win all the spelling bees and geography bees. So it's interesting that homeschoolers are pulling these things off. The bottom line, ladies and gentlemen, is state schools, public schools are not about education. They're about indoctrination into a social construct. That's the bottom line. They're supposed to be raised as good little citizens for a socialist state, and the socialist system is doing a very good job at it. Well, folks, here's the problem with modern education. They don't respect any of the basic principles. I've got them in my book. I just borrowed them from the Bible. But the basic principles, and that is the principle of individuality, what schools do today is teach to standardize tests, and that's ridiculous. We don't standardize, we individualize, because our children are individuals, created in the image of God with their own gifts, talents, and abilities. But they ignore the principle of individuality. They ignore the principle of relationships. You get a new teacher every year. That's absurd. I've had an opportunity to mentor Chad here for the last 2 years, and I tell you what, not a lot was accomplished in the first year, but we're making some major progress this year. Relationships are important. I'm discovering it. You cannot develop much of a relationship one on 30 kids that you see just 1 hour a day over the period of just 1 year. It ain't going to work. Principle of relationships, utterly not respected by the public schools today. They don't subscribe to the preeminence of character either in the public schools. They're not going to teach the fear of God as the beginning of wisdom and knowledge, which is the absolutely most indispensable principle in education. The beginning of wisdom is the fear of God. They'll ignore that too. And there's very little life integration in the sterile classroom. They ignore the big principles, the important principles in the education of a child. They build on the wrong foundation. They've got the wrong content and the wrong methodology. Outside of that, they're doing great with the 10 grand they spend every year for our children. Ladies and gentlemen, how much does it cost to educate a child? Well, how much did it cost to educate George Washington or John Adams or James Madison? Not very much, I'll tell you that much. Most of these guys were educated on 5 or 6, 7 textbooks or classic books that they were able to take home. Most of America was educated on Pilgrim's Progress, maybe a primer or two, and a copy of the King James Version Bible. Let me tell you a story. My dad sent me this email about this family up in Northwest Oregon. Apparently his dad and his daughter, this is just real small family. Dad and his daughter, about 4 years ago, this guy said, man alive, I'm getting out of the inner city. I don't want to raise my daughter in this public school environment. There's way too much illicit drug activity and sexual content and that sort of thing happening. So he took his child and went out into the Northwest woods in Oregon, lived out there for the last 4 years, and police just found him. And they couldn't believe what was happening here. They were living out in the woods, a little lean-to going, planting some food, and had a little creek running by there. And all he had for curriculum to teach this little girl was the Bible and a set of World Book encyclopedias. Well, anyway, the police tested this daughter. She was 12 years old at the time, and they'd been out there for 4 years. And the daughter turned out to be a 12th grade high school graduate on the standardized test. They could not believe it. Unbelievable. They didn't have certified teachers out there. They didn't have any curriculum to talk about. All they had was a set of World Book encyclopedias and a Bible. And yet this man was able to accomplish an excellent education with this. You know, a police officer commented on this particular thing, on this story, and said, you know, what was amazing is how unacceptable their conditions were, and yet how close, how caring, how loving a relationship they had between each other. Ladies and gentlemen, we have been missing some of the most important factors in education. Yeah, we've got the streamlined computer systems. Yeah, we've got 10 grand a year. Yeah, we've got standardized tests. We test those kids through the standardized tests, but we utterly ignore the powerful principles that God has laid down in His Word for an excellent education for our children, as principles like relationships, the principle of individuality and character, focusing on what really matters to God, what should really matter to parents everywhere. In just a moment, we're going to talk a little bit more about the 10 time-tested secrets to best education for your child. It's my book, Upgrade. We're going to talk about what's wrong with this book, arguments brought against this theory of education. We'll be back in just a moment, my friends.
Ladies and gentlemen, Generations with Kevin Swanson and Christian Home Educators of Colorado present the 2007 Family Conference. Join thousands of parents and teens at this family conference featuring hundreds of workshops on homeschooling in the family. And for the very first time, the 2007 conference will host an unprecedented lineup of the nation's best worldview speakers for an all-day worldview super conference, including Dr. David Noble from Summit Ministries and Kevin Swanson with Generations Radio.
Equip your family on the defining worldview issue of our day with the renowned Australian creationist Ken Ham from Answers in Genesis. Conference 2007 is coming up in Denver on June 14th through the 16th. For more information, go to chec.org or call 1-877-842-CHECK today. Make a lasting investment in your family's relationships, worldview, and educational vision. Register for the Conference 2007 now at chec.org. Alternate beginning. Ladies and gentlemen, Christian Home Educators of Colorado presents the 2007 Christian Family Conference.
Folks, back on Generations, and Davis family up in Northwest Oregon, they didn't spend anything over 4 years. You know, there's a lot of homeschoolers out there thinking, I got to spend $400-$600 a year to get some decent curriculum for my kids. You know what? You don't need to spend money. You don't need to spend a lot of money on this kind of thing. These guys, the old World Book Encyclopedia was the one we had when we were kids back in the 1960s. Dave, is unbelievable what they did with just a set of World Book Encyclopedias. She was 12 years old and tested out as a 12th grade high school graduate on that nationally standardized test.
That would put her roughly 6 years ahead of the public school system, the public school parallel. You know, the Beatles said a long time ago, money can't buy you love. And that's the problem. Is a lot of people think if you can throw money at the problem, then you're effectively loving your child. But money doesn't buy love. Love isn't measured by the dollar.
And the power of love and the power of relationships, I mean, that police officer nailed it when he said, you know what, they had such a deep love and caring for each other that that's what it took to establish that relationship, and that relationship was powerful in the preparation, the academic preparation of that child. And I just don't think people get that anymore. They've lost it in this one-size-fits-all, let's get 25, 30 students on the assembly line, we'll run them through a year, and then the teacher gets a whole new set the next year. There is no relationship there, Dave, to speak about. It's very, very shallow. They don't respect the principle of individuality with these children, allowing them to grow at their own rates of learning and interest. That sort of thing is not respected on this huge assembly line produced by a standardized and centralized system we call the public schools today.
And I think that really is the difference. The public schools have taken the Henry Ford approach to building the Model T, to building a person. They want to build a person, you know, where they're on the assembly line, somebody's putting on the wheels, somebody's putting on the doors, you know, somebody's teaching English, somebody's teaching math, but there's no overall system. Each child is individually made. God has knit them in the womb so that they're unique. If you look at the DNA structures, you realize that no two people on this earth are alike. And the odds of that happening are so infinitesimal that you must, I mean, the science shows us, the real science, that we must treat them as individuals because they're all different.
And I know that bugs the bureaucrats, the Rousseaus and the Marxes of the world, that want a centralized, standardized, government-controlled system of education. But ladies and gentlemen, it won't work. It doesn't work. It ruins children everywhere. It ruins nations, and that's precisely what's happening. Hey, I already gave you all the data. Academics is dropping like a rock on the college scene and the K-12 scene across America. Let's just deal with that, and let's get back to God's system of education. And Dave, that's what I tried to put together in my book, Upgrade, the 10 Secrets of the Best Education for Your Child. And I would encourage folks to get this book, because I tell you what, for the most part, I don't hear these principles iterated anywhere. Teaching colleges, teachers, I mean, some teachers understand some of these things, but they're hardly ever taught. And yet, you know what, Dave, I got this from the Word of God. I pulled it out of the Bible. I went to the Bible and tried to find everything the Word of God had to say about the paideia, or the education. That word is education, training, the training of the whole man, for our children. And let's talk about some of the arguments brought against my book. And I think the number one argument is this. Kevin, you know, you talk about the principle of relationships, character is preeminent, individuality, biblical worldview, fear of God, life-integrated education, that sort of thing. Got to be parent-directed. You know, all that comes out of the Bible, though. And they got a beef with that. They say, you know what? Why do you have to take this out of the Bible? Wouldn't you rather take it from Dewey and Rousseau and Marx, these guys? I mean, this is how we got our system. Why do you need to go to the Bible? Marx's system, Rousseau's systems, Dewey's systems is better than what you get in the Bible. The Bible shouldn't be relevant to life. I mean, you should never draw anything relevant from the Word of God. You should just use the Bible for cute little stories about Jesus or something. And Dave, you know, it's true. There are a lot of Christians that feel that way. They're just really turned off when we bring, especially the Old Testament. You've got to be kidding me. You're bringing stuff out of the Old Testament. That's horrible. That's awful. Horrors. Whatever you do, don't bring it out of the Old Testament. That was before those Jews, you know, so many years ago. Forget the book of Proverbs. And, Dave, you know, the content in my book is really, a lot of it is directed towards Proverbs because that's the heart and soul of the education of a child. I mean, the first six verses say, hey, this is going to be about giving knowledge, instruction, and wisdom to a child, to a son. This is what I'm all about. This is what the book is going to be all about. That's the introduction. And so, obviously, this is God's book on knowledge, instruction, and understanding and wisdom for children. And a lot of people are turned off by that.
Well, they can be turned off by it, but the Word of God is the Word of God. And I think if you want to know how the creature is built, you ought to consult the Creator.
No,
that's just me.
No. We're talking about cute stories about Jesus. You know, we don't want to know anything about life here. God's not going to tell us how to live our lives.
I think, in general, if you want to know how something works best, you go to the engineer who designed and built it. That's just me, though.
Yeah, it's amazing what the body, human body, can do. Anyway, anybody who can create a human being certainly ought to have the wisdom and knowledge to know how to raise, how to educate that human. And, Dave, the reason why a lot of people don't want to go to the Word of God for all these things is because the Word of God does bring out objective things and does lay out God's expectations, God's law concerning how we're to live our lives. And I think that turns off folks. They don't want God to tell them what to do.
Okay.
I think that's the bottom line. They just don't want God to tell them what to do. Well, besides that, you've also got 1 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for instruction in righteousness, to equip the man of God for every good work. And I'd include the good work of education in this one, Dave. And all Scripture, Paul's talking about the Old Testament when he brings that out in 1 Timothy 3 and verses 16 and 17. All right, well, here's one more point a lot of folks make is, you know, your focus is always on character. It's not on academics. And that's really what the Book of Proverbs is about. You don't find a lot of geography and geometry and geology in the Book of Proverbs. That's true. You don't. And yet the Word of God says you've got to keep your eye on the ball. You've got to focus on character. Well, they say, I don't want to focus on character. I just want my kid to get a good job. And, you know, Harvard doesn't focus on character either. Because, you know, our systems aren't really set up such that character is all that important. The larger the corporation, the larger the government system, the less important things like love and humility and diligence and kindness and the fear of God play in these things. Dave, think about those large corporations. And as the corporations got larger and larger, it really didn't matter if you had any character at all. I saw some of the people had absolutely no character. They had no diligence whatsoever, no industry whatsoever, working jobs for 25, 30, 35 years in a row. All they did, in fact, some guys in these large corporations I worked for, all they did was receive a paycheck every week or two.
Well, yeah, that's where the lack of character can actually be an asset in certain circumstances, because it's survival of the fittest. They take an evolutionary viewpoint and they just try and crush all the competition. But that certainly is not what God has designed us to be.
And again, we get back to God again and again here. Ladies and gentlemen, ultimately, the lack of character will destroy us. It may not destroy an individual. You may survive. I mean, Hitler survived for a while without a lot of character. But again, when it comes down to it, God expects us to raise our children with character. And if we don't raise our children with character, guess what will happen? Eventually, you'll have a nation where 37% of children are born without fathers, half of marriages end in divorce, and you'll be the greatest debtor nation on planet Earth, which is exactly what's happening to America, an almost entirely characterless country, because we have completely avoided the fear of God as the beginning of wisdom and knowledge, and we have avoided a good education rooted in the fear of God. Ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to Generations. You can interact with this program by emailing me at host@kevinswanson.com. I would encourage you to pick up a copy of my book, Upgrade, The 10 Secrets to the Best Education for Your Child. And I want you to interact with it a little bit. If you disagree with what I wrote in that book, you write me at host@kevinswanson.com. I want to hear your feedback on this book. I can't say I've got everything right, but we did the very best that we could to bring out the principles of God's Word in places like Deuteronomy 6:7, Ephesians 6:4, the book of Proverbs, that deal with a good education for our children. We ignore God's rules. We will do so to our own loss. Folks, you can hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world at kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we lay down a vision for the next generation.
inviting you back again next time as we lay down a vision for the next generation.